Good morning. We're going to call the Government Operations and Election Policy Committee meeting to order. Representative Pugh, do you have a motion on the minutes?
I do, Mr. Chair. So moved. Thank you.
Representative Pugh moves the minutes from February 3rd. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Need at least one. There we go. No?
No.
Minutes are approved from yesterday. This morning, we have Representative McNamara in front of the committee with House File 181. Welcome, Representative McNamara. We're glad that you're in front of the committee this morning. I'll go ahead and move House File 181 to pass to be referred to the Legacy Funding Finance Committee. Welcome and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm wondering, Mr. Chair, if you could... Do you want to move the A7? That would get the bill in the shape I would like, and then we could discuss it with that, if that would be okay. And I could, or if you want me to discuss the A7.
We'll do this to get it in front of us. Representative Scott.
Yes, I'd like to move the A7 amendment.
Representative Scott moves the A7 amendment. Any discussion? We'll start with you, Representative McNamara, if you have any.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This would remove the... If you are on page 21 of the bill, it removes the part of... There's been a discussion about this part of the open meeting law exemption that would have for both the council and for LCCMR. And after thinking it out, we'd like to remove this section, and I think it makes most people more happy.
Thank you, Representative McNamara. Any member discussion to this author's amendment moved by Representative Scott? Representative Yukim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McNamara, was this put in originally, though, so that members that are on this committee can go to educational, informational hearings and discussions like you have when, let's say, the legislature goes to National Conference of State Legislatures, or if a city council member goes to League of Minnesota Cities meeting?
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And yes, it was specifically, there's some functions that some of the council members get invited to, but unfortunately, some of those are not open to the public, and so then it would be... they could post the meeting, but you can't post a meeting that's not open to the public. So I think the best way to control it is there never to be a majority of the members at one of those such meetings. Otherwise, current law allows them to post it and allows them to go to functions that are open to the public. And after discussion, I don't think we want to allow them a majority to go to a meeting that's not open. It would skirt the open meeting principles, I think, is what would be happening. And actually, the original concern came, there's bipartisan concern to this legislation. Representative Hansen, Representative Scott have both mentioned their concern with this provision. And so I want to be real careful. This is a really important council with citizen and legislative members. And they do have a process in place that allows the members to attend events, and the staff of Lasard Sam screens to make sure a majority or a majority of their executive committee will not be present, so they don't unknowingly violate open meeting law. I hope that explains it.
Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It does. I still would like to see it stand.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Mike McNamara. Question I have, and I when hearing it, I mean, 2 years ago when this bill came forward, there was a lot of consternation about changes that were made from the Lasard Sam's Council. And I understand that there were changes made in this from what the Lasard Sam's Council originally brought forward. Something was eliminated and more money was put someplace else. And I remember 2 years ago when this happened, nine or more articles written and bashing the chair of the committee, the legacy committee, and bashing a certain representative for doing that. And I haven't seen the consternation coming forth this year because of changes made in the recommendations. Can you enlighten me what those are and why the changes were made? And I understand it was an amendment in the previous committee.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and Representative Nelson. There was I believe only one project. There was some other technical amendments, but there was one project. It was a land purchase project in Clearwater County that was passed an amendment to remove that project from the bill, and it added money for some SWCD funding. No, I've got it wrong. It added the money to, I might need Mr. Johnson because I'm getting LCCMR and Lasard Sams mixed up. If I could have Director Johnson come down and clarify the amendment removed the Clearwater County project, and it added the money to which project?
Before we do that, Representative Nelson, we have not adopted the A7 amendment. Your question goes to more details of the bill. If you don't object, I'd like to either have questions to the amendment or adopt the amendment.
We can do that, either one, yeah.
Okay.
And then I can wait for the answer.
And then we'll come right back to you, Representative Nelson. Representative, are there any member questions on the A7 author's amendment offered by Representative Scott? Seeing none, all in favor of the A7 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
The amendment is adopted. Representative McNamara, the A7 is in. The bill is in the shape that you would like. Representative Nelson, we'll go back to you. If you could just rephrase your question, then we'll move on to the testifier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, again, there were changes made to the recommendations that came forward. And as I remember, 2 years ago, there were changes made, and a lot of bashing of the legislator because of that. And I'm wondering why this change isn't making such headway, and why are we making such, why there's no noise about it. I mean, if we're going to hold them sacred, because I've heard that in the previous legislation that we hold what they bring forward sacred, well, now we're making changes. Why aren't we holding them sacred for this occasion, where past occasions there's been a lot of noise coming about that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative McNamara.
And Representative Nelson, there has been discussion ongoing in regards to this project. The project in Clearwater County that was removed, you asked where the funding went. The funding went to accelerated shallow lakes and wetlands enhancement. So the consternation is there. There will be ongoing discussion as this bill moves forward. But the reality, unanswered, is the $12,000 in lost revenue to Clearwater County, which is a county that already has extensive land holdings. And this land purchase would not have been eligible for PILT the way it was. It would become tribal ownership. The White Earth proposal, the White Earth Nation would become the owner. They do not pay PILT. There would be no PILT payment. There would be a loss of revenue to the county. And that's the consternation centers around. We've done a few of these projects where a different unit of government, one was in Crow Wing County where a county forest was established. PILT payment will not be paid. And unfortunately, in that case, the land actually, the county, because they ended up with the ownership, is going to financially gain when they sell some land, made a land exchange, and now they'll sell some land as commercial property, and the county's going to gain instead of the state. So the challenge here is when we use state money to buy assets and then basically give them to another unit of government to own, unfortunately, they can make changes or financially gain, and I don't think that's correct. That's the bigger discussion, Representative Nelson. It is ongoing. The bill is going from here to Ways and Means, and if the amendment, which I hope does survive, I anticipate there will be thorough discussions with the Senate about how do we deal with this basically giving significant state assets to non-state units of government, and then them being able to manage them for the way they want, not necessarily, and potentially for financial gain for them. It's a big discussion, and Representative Nelson, I do not look forward to this bill having line item vetoes or getting the entire bill vetoed. I look forward to working with the governor and the Senate to get a resolution. This is a tough issue.
Representative Nelson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative McNamara. And I understand that being here, as long as you have been here, that when these things have come forward, there's always this going on and the purchasing of land and taking out of the tax base, I know is a big issue, especially when you get to outstate Minnesota. But I know the governor in the past has said he's going to hold fast to those Sarge Sam's recommendations. I'm just curious. Like I said, I'm just curious about that. Why, like I said, last 2 years ago when this happened, there were 9 articles written bashing Representative Kahn and in the press, and we haven't seen any of that. And so I'm, like I said, it's just, I'll keep an eye on it going forward. I just want to ask the question to make sure we got it on the record.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Nelson. As Representative Kahn and I both know, we've been subject to the to that writer's scorn, and actually I think he outdid it in regards to me over Representative Kahn, and she acknowledged that herself with the article he wrote on my only grandson's birthday that got to be kept in my grandson Lucas's baby book forever, the scorn I suffered on that article. So that is one of the bipartisan things that's happened around here, and so I look forward to working with Representative Kahn on getting this issue resolved. And thank you for bringing it up. It is a tough issue, and I'm working with the White Earth Nation. I'm hopeful that we will have a resolution.
Anything further, Representative Nelson? Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for the committee's benefit and the benefit of others who are in the audience, can you define what areas in this bill are within the purview of this committee so that we might not get too far afield on what we should be looking at or discussing?
Mr. Shepherd, are you prepared to give us an answer on that?
Mr. Chair and members, I had thought that the reason the bill was referred here was because of two sections. Sections 3, which begins on page 20, and Section 4, which has now been removed from the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Shepherd. Representative O'Driscoll, anything further?
No, Mr. Chair, just wanted to benefit for the benefit of the committee, because sometimes when these bills come forward, people may see things in other sections that are outside the purview of the committee.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. Representative Seltzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm frantically looking to see if this is within that particular section. My question was, and you can correct me or stop me if it's not pertinent, was about the change in the process and the change of authority around hiring the new executive director. All of the folks that have contacted me are very happy with the way Lasard Sam's council is right now, and so there's some concern about this. So I'm wondering if you could clarify that.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And that is the part of the bill that is before this committee. The current process, this amends that process a little bit. And I might be best if Representative Seltzer, that is what it is. And there are challenges. Maybe I can run through it in layman's terms. And if you need more, I know Mr. Hubinger is here from the LCC who worked with us. This would clarify that the authority for the hiring of the executive director of Lasard Sam's lies with the LCC and not with the body comprised of 8 citizens and 4 legislators. As you know, here in the legislature, we do not hire our own staff. We don't hire our own legislative assistant. We don't hire the committee administrators. That's done outside our purview, and for good reason. In Lasard Sam's Outdoor Heritage, we recently went through the hiring process, and Mr. Johnson was hired as the executive director. And the council played a role in that hiring process, and it was required. And unfortunately, the 8 citizens and the 4 legislators don't necessarily have the HR experience necessary in the hiring process, and we were warned over and over about what we could and could not say. For those of you that have worked in HR and worked in the hiring process, it's a very careful process today. And citizen members were brought on Lasard Sam's to discuss projects and should the money be spent on restoration, should it be spent on easements, should it be spent on acquisition, and not on their expertise in human resources. And it was very clear that we were getting into an expertise outside of where we were at. So this clarified that it was the LCC, which is led by the Senate Majority Leader and the Speaker of the House, are the ultimate responsibility, and they have election certificates, and we believe it's the right way, and that would line up with how other hiring around the legislature is done. Representative Fisher raised a good point in committee, Mr. Chair and members, about how the recent hiring of the Water Commission director was done under a process that this will align with. Similarly, this would line up just like that, and Representative Fisher specifically said how they were involved in the process and it worked quite well, but yet we didn't have an opportunity for someone to end up doing something that we wouldn't want to have happen.
Representative Seltzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative. I understand the explanation, but I just don't know if all my constituents agree with it, but thank you.
Well, Representative Seltzer, if all your constituents agree with it, they'd be different than mine, because this is not something that has unanimous by all our constituents, yes.
Representative Joachim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hate to go backwards, and maybe this is a question for council. When we move the A7 amendment, we're deleting the entire Section 4 that gives reference to open meeting laws. Is this classified in Chapter 13 because of the way the committee's formed in some other way? How does Chapter 13 and open meeting laws now apply that we took the entire section out?
Ms. Dyson?
Mr. Chair and Representative, by deleting this section, it means that the statute remains unchanged and that this section in the LSARD-SAMS statute referring to the open meeting law stays as it is. So it Chapter 13D still applies to the LSARD-SAMS the way it does under current law.
Representative Joachim.
Okay, so under current law, is that noted somewhere else in the construction of the LSARD Council? Because, okay.
Ms. Dyson.
Mr. Chair and Representative, by taking it out of the bill, it means that the statute will not be changed. And so the statute remains as it is under current law.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of sundry questions, actually. But I wondered, just looking over the pages, you have a wetlands purchasing and so on. Do these wetlands coming forth from this bill, do they end up in the wetlands inventory that the state has? I mean, are they adding to the wetland inventory? Do you know?
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Runbeck, can you tell me what page you're on? There's a number of wetland issues.
Yeah, right. I'm just glancing
Representative
at
Runbeck.
Here. Mr. Chair, and page 10. Living Shallow Lakes and Wetland Initiative.
Representative McNamara, give you a second to flip to the page. You said page 10, correct, Representative Brumbach?
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Runbeck, on lines 10.19 through 10.128, I'm assuming is the one you're talking about.
Mr. Chair. And
Representative Runbeck.
Looking at 10.19 to 10.28.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Representative Runbeck, this is a proposal that would spend 9.040 on land acquisition for state wildlife management areas to be used. Ducks Unlimited as a facilitator in the purchase of those lands. They would become state wildlife management areas and subject to PILT payments in lieu of taxes. The payment in lieu of taxes is how local units of government would be reimbursed for the lost tax revenue.
Well, Mr. Chair and
Representative
McNamara, this Board of Soil and Water keeps an inventory of wetlands and how the state is doing against, you know, pre-settlement wetlands. And are we, you know, in deficit or are we adding to that wetland inventory that's protected, more or less? I'm just curious if, you know, automatically these land purchases, which sound like they're wetlands and for preservation, let's say, if they are automatically put into that inventory.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Runbeck. the vast majority of these lands are purchased in areas that where 90% plus, sometimes up to 99% of the pre-settlement wetlands have been drained for agricultural mm-hmm. purposes. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, these are, some will be existing wetlands that are still wetlands, and some will offer opportunities to restore the wetlands where they're marginal farmland and they're restored back into wetlands. Your question, are they kept the inventory? Yes, there is an inventory of wetlands, and this potentially could create some new wetlands that would be inventoried as wetlands when they're restored. They would be chronicled as previous wetlands or drained wetlands now is how they would be, and they would become wetlands.
Representative Rumbeck.
Mr. Chair, just it sounds like they are in process of becoming categorized as, you know, preserved wetlands, but not necessarily then. Mr. Chair and Representative, just the process of being in this bill, land purchased and so on, doesn't automatically make them wetlands and saved in the inventory, let's just say.
Representative McNamara.
Well, some of the land purchases, thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Runbeck, some of the land purchases are for the wetland program, some are for prairie program. I'm not sure if there's any forest acquisition. Yes, there is. There's some Cass County. We had pretty thorough discussion, Mr. Chair, and members of this in the Environment Committee, so I got to be honest, I came right from our committee, so I don't have all my notes, so apologize if I'm slow to answer the questions.
That's just fine, Representative McNamara. Those are, perhaps you guys can work offline, Representative Rumbeck, Representative McNamara. That section's not in front of this committee per se anyway, but more information is better than not. So, Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McNamara, I'm looking at page 22 under section 5, first, with regard to revenues. And I'm just wondering if you could walk me through the practicality of identifying revenues derived from the land after the what I would understand the purchase agreement has been consummated, and the expenses. What's a practical? How do you put that into practice, or what's the thinking behind that?
Representative McNamara.
I'm going to let Director Johnson answer this one.
Mr. Johnson, welcome to the committee. If you could, introduce yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, my name is Mark Johnson. I'm the Executive Director of the Lessard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council. Mr. Chair, Representative, basically right now the law says that in 97A.056, it states that when lands are acquired with outdoor heritage funds, if there are revenues that are gained on those properties or income that's gained on that at any time after it's acquired, then those have to be reported. Also, the expenses of restoration of those properties have to be recorded. The one thing it doesn't state right now in current law is what happens to those revenues when that land is then transferred into state ownership, transferred from like Pheasants Forever to the state of Minnesota. This merely directs that those dollars follow the land.
Hmm. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, that makes sense. Then, Representative McNamara, to Section 6. Again, it may require phoning a friend on this one, but just walk me through the... There's a lot of give and take on the verbiage under donations, Subdivision 20, and I'm just... trying to figure out documenting expenses not to accept monetary gain on the money. This is under page 22, same page. Again, I'm just maybe revealing my naivete to this, but if someone could just walk me through the process of donation of the property and what this all means. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Albright and the members. This centers around Representative Wagenius and I have had a long time discussion with Trust for Public Lands and their way they were compensated historically when they played a role in facilitating on behalf of the state a land acquisition or an easement or whatever they were facilitating. They were allowed to get paid on a percentage basis or get a donation back from the seller. We felt that oftentimes the compensation exceeded their actual expenses, and so they, after a number of years, have come to agree with us that they needed to change their model, and they're adopting a model where they're reimbursed for their actual expenses, but we want to make sure that land or the seller, whether it's the seller of an easement or the seller of fee title, can still give donations back to Trust for Public Lands or Conservation Minnesota or Nature Conservancy, and we're clarifying in this language what that is. So I hope that explains it. And it's it was a long time coming, but it's something that's a good deal because we had some rather large purchases where I think there was a windfall at the state's expense.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other member questions or comments? Seeing none, is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify on this bill? Seeing none, Representative McNamara, any closing comments on your bill?
Thank you for the time, Mr. Chair and members.
Excellent. Seeing no further discussion, I'll renew my motion that House File 181 will be referred to the Legacy Funding Finance Committee as amended. All in favor, say aye.